Welcome to English as a Second Language Podcast, Special Edition, English Questions Answered. Welcome to a special edition of English as a Second Language Podcast. To celebrate our 100th episode, we are releasing this special bonus podcast where we answer your questions in English about English. We asked you to email us, and many, many people have emailed lots of questions. Too many questions for us to answer on this special podcast, but we will eventually answer all of your questions. So thank you for emailing those. We're going to answer some questions, and I hope that at the end of the podcast, you will email us at eslpod@eslpod.com and let us know what you think of the podcast. Do you like us answering questions that you have? Is it interesting for you to listen to? So we would welcome your feedback about this special program. We're going to talk today about whether the word none is singular or plural. We'll talk about how you use the expression supposed to be and having said that. We'll go over what the word rough means. We'll also talk about how you use the expression be plus an infinitive verb, such as you are to study English. We'll talk a little bit about the expression thick as a brick and talk about how you use wanna, gotta, and gonna. We'll go over the use of the definite article the, when you have to use it and when you don't. We'll talk about what a doctor says when you come to visit him or her. We'll go over the meaning of gosh, as in oh my gosh. And finally, we'll talk about the expression what it feels like for someone. Our first question comes from Clemens in Germany. Clemens asks whether the word none, N-O-N-E, takes a singular verb or a plural verb. For example, do we say, if none of the teachers are available, or if none of the teachers is available? Well, this is a tough question because none can actually take either a plural or a singular verb. There are some words in English that only take a singular verb, words like anyone or anything, everyone, everybody. There are some words that only take a plural verb, so you have both, few, many are, several are. Those take a plural. But some words like none, some, and such can take either a singular or a plural. So either if none of the teachers is available, or if none of the teachers are available. Either one of them could be correct. So that's not the answer you wanted to hear, perhaps, but that is the way we normally use the word such as none. Our next question comes from Fabio in Brazil, and we actually had two people ask a question. Ritesh also asked this same question about the expression supposed to be. What does it mean when someone says, you are supposed to be here, or he's supposed to meet me at lunch? Well, the expression supposed to be, or supposed to plus another verb, the expression here means that we are expecting something to happen, that there's an obligation or an expectation that you are going to do something. I am supposed to be at work right now means I am expected at work. People are expecting me. I have some sort of obligation or some sort of duty to do that thing. The next question comes from Abbas, writing us from Ghana in Africa. Abbas asks, what does the expression having said that mean? When somebody says having said that, usually they are going to tell you something that is a contradiction or takes a different position from the one you just said. For example, I love Minnesota. Having said that, I won't go there in the winter time. So I start by saying I love Minnesota, and you would expect me to say something good about Minnesota, but instead I say, having said that, I won't go there in the winter time, meaning I'm going to contradict or take a different position from what I just stated. Joel from Switzerland writes and asks what the meaning is of the word rough. What do we mean when we say something is rough? Well, rough, R-O-U-G-H, can have a couple of meanings. One is that it is not smooth. It's the opposite of smooth. So, for example, if you were to take a vegetable and pull it out of the ground, and there's still dirt on it, and you feel the vegetable with your hand, it will feel rough. If you wash it and take a knife and clean it, it would be more smooth. So rough can be the opposite of smooth, but rough also means approximate, something that is close to but not exact. For example, if someone says, give me a rough guess about how many people are there, that means I don't want an exact number, just an approximate number, approximately how many people were there. We also use this expression in writing in school when we talk about a rough draft. A rough draft is your first attempt, your first try at writing your paper. And you may give it to your friend or your professor or your teacher, and she or he will give you comments, and then you do another draft. So that first attempt or those early attempts are called a rough draft. Again, it's related to the sense of approximate, not exactly there yet, but close to there. Our next question comes from Takeshi in Japan. And he asks about the use of the expression, you are to. For example, you are to study English. What exactly does this mean? Well, when someone says you are to study English, usually the use of are to is almost like a command. You must. Or it's a very strong suggestion, you should. This is not as common a use in American English. It might be more common in British English. You can also use the expression you are to mean you are going to. For example, someone may say, you are to study English next semester. Is that right? Meaning you are going to study English. Again, neither of these uses as a command or simply as you are going to are that common in American English, but you might hear them in British and other variations or types of English. Of course, there are many different types of English. I speak American English. I don't know a lot about other types of English. I know some things, but I'm not an expert, certainly, in any of the other types of English. But in American English, it is not as common. We have a question from Michael, also in Germany, and Michael asks, the meaning of a title from a song by an American, I think an American rock star, maybe a British rock star, Jethro Tull, an old one from the 70s. The expression is thick as a brick. What does it mean to be thick as a brick? Well, the expression to be thick means to be stupid. If someone says you're thick, they mean you're dumb. You're not very smart. It's an insult. Thick can also mean broad. And so this is sort of a play on words. A brick is thick in the sense that it's very broad. It's very wide across. But it rhymes with thick. So thick as a brick means you are as dumb as a brick. But also a brick, of course, is a piece of stone or concrete. And so it's saying that you are very dumb. Philippe from France asks the difference or the use of the words wanna, gotta, and gonna. Well, these expressions, wanna, and gotta, and gonna, of course, come from want to, got to, and going to. But in informal speech, or when people are speaking very fast, they won't say want to, they'll say wanna. Do you want to go with me? Do you want to go with me? There really isn't any difference in meaning between want to and wanna. They're simply faster ways, more informal ways of pronouncing those particular expressions. Our next question comes from Philippe, this time a Philippe in Monaco. And his question is how he, as a doctor, should welcome a patient or a person coming to talk to him. And more generally, this is a question about people who are in a service profession, that is a profession that they provide you with some sort of service. When people come in and have an appointment with you, what should you say? Well, normally a doctor would first welcome or greet a patient by saying, "What brings you in today?" Or, "What seems to be the problem today?" What brings you in means, why did you come here? And what seems to be the problem means, what's wrong with you? But it's a more nice, a more polite way of saying it. And that's what most doctors would probably say in English. And that could be any kind of doctor, really. Our next question is from Natalie from Moscow, from Russia. She's interested in knowing what the expression, "oh my gosh," means, and what gosh, G-O-S-H, is supposed to mean. Well, it really is just a nice or polite way of saying, "oh my God," but some people don't like using the word of God in their expressions, and so they use the word gosh, "oh my gosh." It's not as common anymore, the expression. It's a little old-fashioned, meaning it's not as popular, but you will still hear that expression, gosh. Sometimes people will just say, "oh gosh," meaning "oh well" or "oh my," as an expression of emotion. Our next question comes from Vivian in Shanghai, China. Vivian has a question about when to use the article the, T-H-E, before a noun. For example, in the expression, "when it comes to Thanksgiving dinner, is it possible to put the in front of Thanksgiving dinner? When it comes to the Thanksgiving dinner?" And what would be the difference? Well, when you put a "the" in front of a word, usually you mean that you are talking about a specific or particular noun. If you are talking more in general, then you would usually not use the word the. So if you were talking about Thanksgiving dinner in general, on average, you wouldn't say the. But if you were talking about your Thanksgiving dinner or a particular specific one, you could say the. She also asks about the expression, here are some of the dreams made possible. Can you remove the? And here the answer is no. You have to say the dreams. You can't say here are some of dreams. And the reason is that you are talking about some particular or specific dreams. Some of the dreams. You have a number of dreams that you are thinking about specifically, and you want to know about some of those. So in that case, it's not possible to get rid of the. Our final question comes from Guillermo in the country of Argentina in South America. Guillermo asks another question about a song. We get lots of questions about what songs mean, and that's okay. This is a song from Madonna and the American singer. And the expression is what it feels like for a girl. What does that expression, what it feels like for? Well, the expression feels like means pretty much the same as how does it feel? Sometimes we use the expression feel like when we are trying to express an emotion or some sort of feeling that is difficult to describe. And so, for example, if you accidentally hit your thumb with the door and the door hits your thumb and it really hurts, you could say, it feels like someone took a hammer and hit my thumb with it. That would be a use of feels like. To say something feels like, what something feels like for a person means that you know what it feels like for one type of person. You want to know what it feels like for another person. For example, when I go to another country where I don't speak the language of the country, I know what it feels like for someone who comes to the United States and doesn't speak English. So I am not someone who doesn't speak English, but I can understand what it feels like for that person because I have my own experience in another country. Well, that's all the time we have for on this special bonus 100th anniversary podcast. We have many more questions that you wrote, and we are going to answer those in some future podcasts. So keep listening. We would love to get your feedback about today's special program. We are thinking perhaps of having another podcast, a very short, maybe two or three times a week, maybe once a week, where we would just answer your questions. And so email us and let us know what you think of this podcast. Was it interesting? And would you listen to more podcasts like this if we had them available? From Los Angeles, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks for listening to this special edition of ESL Podcast. ESL Podcast is a production of the Center for Educational Development in Los Angeles, California. This podcast is copyright 2005. No part of this podcast may be sold or redistributed without the express written permission of the Center for Educational Development.